Recorded live.
Hello, this is Larry Phillips, and I'm going to be doing the Bible study again by myself tonight. My son is not up to helping me tonight, so it looks like I will be doing it alone, which is fine. The Bible study tonight is going to be on John, the fourth chapter. And, of course, this particular chapter, John 4, is rather lengthy. It's 54 verses. And so we may not get through the whole chapter, but we're going to see what we can accomplish tonight. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had baptized more disciples than John, then Jesus himself baptized not. I'm just checking out my, making sure that we are getting a good signal here. I'm sorry, a little technical detail here. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Now, you know, I can understand why Jesus didn't baptize. He said, well, how do you know? Why do you say that? Well, I've been into so many churches that the whole emphasis was on how many baptisms they were getting. You know, I've been in Southern Baptist churches that they go around and ask, you know, how many baptisms did this church get? How many baptisms did that church get? You know, how many hits did you get on YouTube? How many hits did you get on sermon audio? How many downloads did you get? You know, look, you cannot add to or separate from the kingdom of God. You know, whether anybody listens to this Bible study, I'm still going to do it. You know, whether it's 10,000 or zip, I'm still going to do the Bible study because it's what God has called me to do. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Isn't that interesting? He must needs go through Samaria. All things are ordained of God, including his trip to Samaria. My wife and my son and I are going to be taking a little trip in the morning to Cherokee Village, Arkansas. We must needs go to Cherokee Village, you know. God is the one that so ordained it. Then he cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, set thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, that's quite a verse, Jesus being wearied with his journey. Here, the Son of God, the creator of the universe, was weary with his journey. Isn't that amazing? He took on the form of man, you know. He was tempted in all points as we were, yet without sin. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Notice she didn't say that the Samaritans have no dealings with the Jews. It was the Jews that had their noses up in the air. It was the Jews that thought they were better than everybody else. After all, they were the physical seed of Abraham. Jesus answered and said to her, "If thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Here we have the Messiah, the creator of the universe, before her, and she has yet to come to that realization. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou then hast thou living water?" You know, a lot of people think that God has to have something to draw people to himself with. You know, whether it's emotionalism, whether it's five verses of Almost Persuaded, or whether it's some emotional music, or sending someone back to try to pull you down the altar. They always think they have to have something to draw with. And this lady at Samaria was no different, was she? "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with." Well, what did Christ say about that in John 6? He said, "All that the Father hath given me will come to me. And all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out." He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." He said, "No man can come unto me unless they are drawn to me." So it's a little different, isn't it? And then she says, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." What a proclamation by this Jewish fellow that was weary sitting on a well. You know, how could a weary Jewish fellow sitting on a well make a proclamation that he could give water to somebody and they would never thirst again? Well, because he was the creator of the universe. He was the Redeemer. He was the Messiah. He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end. That's why. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." She was still thinking it was going to be something physical that would take away her physical thirst forever. She didn't understand that he was speaking of her of spiritual water. Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly." You know, that must have been mind-boggling for her. Here she was. She'd had five husbands, and now she was living with someone that wasn't even her husband. So she'd had six men. "The woman saith unto him, 'Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Well, I would hope that you would perceive he was a prophet. He just told you exactly what was going on in your personal life. How would he know that if he wasn't a prophet? She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Well, she was attributing what the Jews said because to Christ, because Christ was a Jew. She was attributing what the Jews said to Christ because Christ was a Jew, but Christ never said that you should worship in Jerusalem. He never told her that. They never even talked about where to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Well, that's where we're at right now. You know, it's not the physical place. You know, it's not in Jerusalem, and it's not on the top of this mountain here in Pineville. He says, ye worship, ye know not what. Ye know not what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Think about that. Think about that. Christ said the hour is coming. The hour cometh, and he says it now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. He goes on to say God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the question we need to ask ourselves tonight is, are we worshiping God in spirit and in truth? You know, are we just going to a building made with hands, brick and mortar, and going through the bulletin, the program of that particular people that are worshiping in that brick and mortar building? The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. So this lady at Samaria knew she was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And she even knew his name. Isn't that interesting? She even knew his name. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. What a revelation. Jesus Christ did not just reveal to her that he was Jesus. He also revealed to her that he was the Messiah. And he also revealed to her that he was the Messiah that was going to tell. He had already told her all things about her life, even the fact that she had six men in her life. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. Now that's pretty amazing. She came down there to get water. She came down there to get physical water. But she left with spiritual water, and she even left her water pot there. The woman then left her water pot and went her way in the city and saith to the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You know, that's what happens to all sinners when they come under conviction of sin. Christ reveals to them that he knows every sin they've ever committed. And he, through the Holy Spirit, makes them aware that they are in need of a Savior for remission of these sins. And Christ had told her that she was, you know, she'd had six men. And so she's going into the city, and she says, come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to meat? Throughout the Bible, we see a distinction between the spiritual and the physical. The disciples here was thinking of the physical, and Christ was alluding to the spiritual. And then he says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Well, we know what that was, what that work was, that Christ was sent by the Father to do. He came to save his people from their sins by dying on a cross and raising from the dead. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. And both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, will ye not believe? The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was gone down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them that hour, when he began to amend. And when they said unto him, yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus saith unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Well, you know, it was the second physical miracle, okay? But he also worked a spiritual miracle, didn't he? The spiritual miracle was in the heart of this Samaritan woman, where he, and he also worked many spiritual miracles in those that she told about the Messiah, and they also believed on him through his own word. So he was doing mighty works among the people to bring them to himself and redeem them. The Bible says that just shall live by faith, but it's by the faith of Christ, the faith that's put in their hearts to believe the truth of the gospel. So this is a powerful, powerful chapter. We see the absolute sovereignty of God in the work of the lady at Samaria. We see the work of the miracle of the healing. We see the work of a miracle in the village of the other Samaritans, and how God intervened on the behalf of his people. Hope everyone has a good evening to you this evening. God bless.